Evening, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Stick around. We're going to have the annual, what church is this? Race Street Baptist snowball fight later on after the service. I wasn't sure whether it was her or Harvest, so I didn't make sure. No, but that was an inside joke. Some of you guys, Pastor got it, Brian, Donna got it, yeah. Donna got it, yeah. So, let's see. Let's sing our first song is a wonderful song. It's between 665 and 667. Now, I'll let you figure out which song it is. Why it got on that particular page, I will never know. But it's like, that should be crossed out of there. You should just skip it. All right, let's have everybody stand. But first of all, let's open up with a word of prayer. Brother Sam Borso, would you please stand up and lift up your voice to the Lord?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for the blessings that you shower on us day in and day out. We just pray that you give us a blessing tonight from your word. Help us as we sing, as we lift our voices in praise to you, because you are worthy of our praise.
Yes.
Just help us to be of a good mind in all that we do, whether it's singing or praying or our own Bible study, listening to preaching, that our minds and hearts would be set on you. Help us now as we begin this service that you get the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Please remain standing and let's sing that song that I didn't call out the number. It's My Jesus, I Love Thee. Every other song she played, that's it. Right, Allie? Yeah, she shakes her head. All right. Calvary covers it all. Everybody ready? Far dearer than all that the world can impart was a message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all.
Saturday night and leaving out on Monday. He's a missionary to Zimbabwe. But I also like to, after the morning service next week, have a little fellowship dinner to also celebrate the church's anniversary, which is that following week in the first week of February. So if you'd like to come or able to come, please, if you're able to, bring a main dish or dessert, and we'll have some fellowship after the preaching next Sunday morning. And if I also want to read this to you, if you can keep this couple in prayer, Stephen and Laurel Holt, they're missionaries to Sierra Leone. I'm going to read this to you. I've known about him for a number of years now. He's been very faithful over there in Sierra Leone. But he's had some troubles recently. He says, "To our faithful partners, I'm glad to report to you that I have been released from formal physical therapy and that my new knee is serving me well. I have just started riding my bicycle again, and I'm walking regularly with my recovery basically completed. I didn't get, inside joke up here. I download my sermons, and I said it helps me pronounce words, but tonight I'm having trouble with it. It says, with my recovery basically completed, I had hoped for an early February return to Sierra Leone. Unfortunately, we have had some serious news to report to you in this update. While getting routine blood work in preparation for the knee replacement, I showed an alarmingly high number on my PSA level. This was quite concerning to my general practitioner, and I was sent to a urologist for further testing. Around Thanksgiving time, I underwent biopsies, which came back positive for prostate cancer. He says, on Monday, December 30th, Laura and I met with the oncologist for a two-hour consultation. At this appointment, we learned that my risk category is much higher than the urologist initially believed it to be. I am in the unfavorable moderate group, which leaves just two levels higher than the one I am in, high and very high, the risk for spread and return of the cancer. The oncologist told us there's quite a bit of disease already there. Because 11 out of my 15 biopsies came back positive, he is concerned that the tumor is more aggressive type than initially suspected, so they'll be doing genetic testing on the biopsy tissue to make that determination. We go back in 3 weeks to learn the outcome of the testing. The number of positive biopsies along with the other factors has put me at a stage 3 cancer. We'll be moving forward with treatment. I need 9 weeks of targeted radiation therapy at 5 days per week. In addition, I will need hormone therapy to suppress the hormones which feed the tumor. This combination is hoped to eliminate the need for surgical removal of the tumor. I have several appointments to complete in preparation of the radiation therapy so that we do not yet have a start date. One of these is for a bone scan to ensure that there are not yet been any spread to the bones, a common course for this type of cancer to take. Laura and I have put our cares and burdens on our faithful Savior. We trust Him completely and know that He is only and always good. We count it a privilege to be able to request your prayers for this unexpected situation. Should you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Because He is worthy, Stephen and Laura Holt. So please keep him in prayer. He's a good brother. He's a very good brother. I don't know if you remember me talking, I don't know how long ago it was, but I mentioned one time about the Lord calling individuals to the mission field. And I said, you might never know, the Lord might call you to mission field. And you say, well, I'm older, I'm 60 or 70 years old. Well, that's what happened to him. He retired from the Coast Guard. He moved down to Florida. I think he retired out from down there. Decided the Lord was calling him to go to Bible college. Went to a Bible college, and then God called him and his wife to the mission field. And I think he was in his 60s. And he's been over there faithfully for a number of years now. He was over there when the Ebola? I might say, when that broke out over there. And he sent his wife home, and he said he was going to stay with the people over there. And it gave such open doors because the people were so surprised that this white man, missionary man, would stay there with them through that outbreak. And God did a wonderful thing over there because he trusted the Lord. He said, these are my brethren. How can I leave you now in a time of need and go back to the States? And God just did something for him. So please keep him in prayer that God would just help him and his wife out. I know she has got a multitude of health issues as well that she's struggling with. Pray for him. They're a blessing. And please just keep him in your prayers. Amen.
I can feel for that, brother. I was in that boat a while ago, but thank God for me, it wasn't cancer, but I went through that whole procedure. Wow. Anyway, is your break over? I don't know. I'm not, because I can ad-lib a while until you're ready to go. All right. If you would, please stand and sing with me a song that I think all of us should really just memorize the entire song. It's so important. 57, Cleanse Me. Cleanse me. Let's sing this song very prayerfully. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my heart, my prayer. Somewhere
song there to know our name.
We'll be doing all right. Yeah, I should double check that. He didn't say my name tonight. For those of you who weren't here a couple Wednesday nights ago, I don't know who Brother Glenn was praying for. He was praying for Pastor Weddingly. Please keep that man in prayer. That God helps him, leads, guides, and direct him. I think he's pastor at Heritage Baptist Church. Or Harvest, one of the two. That was part of the inside joke tonight. Is I was with him one day and he's praying for Harvest Baptist Church or Heritage. Okay, you know, pray for Ray Street too. Amen. So as long as our song leader knows where he's at this evening, that's a good thing. Amen. So if you take your Bible tonight, we're going to, hopefully I said this last week, I think I said it the 3 or 4 weeks ago. Maybe we'll finish up tonight. I think we should be able to finish up tonight on this study of the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ for the bride of Christ. To take us home before the tribulation. And I want to look at one last section here this evening. Brethren, if you get a chance, I think even as you read through the book of Psalms, if you get an opportunity, read through Isaiah, read through Zechariah, read through Ezekiel, read through Jeremiah, and you will see, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, if you ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance on these things, that there is a distinction between the Jewish people and the church. It's there. It is all there. It is all. It is in Scripture that this thing is going to turn back to Israel, back to the Jewish people, and the reason for the great tribulation and the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, is for God's judgment to come down upon the nation of Israel. That's why it must occur. It must occur because the Lord says, listen, you are going to have to make payments. You're going to have to pay for what you've done. And like I talked about this morning during the Sunday morning hour, is that yes, in Christ Jesus, there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile, one in Christ. But there's no doubt also that the Lord chose the nation of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them a land that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's a land that has an everlasting covenant associated with it. There's a land promise, a land grant given to a specific group of people, and that is the Jewish people. And just because the church has come into play doesn't mean that all of a sudden now that is all of it's totally negated. Because the Bible shows us, and we looked at scriptures before on it, that David is going to come back and he is going to rule and reign in Israel. David. That's not the church. The church has no promises from the Word of God of a land grant, a physical land grant of the nation of Israel over there in the Middle East. The church has spiritual promises, spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Israel has physical blessings and a physical land that they'll be given. Real quick, take your Bible and look at Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want you to look here at verse number 20. Ezekiel 37 verse 20. Kind of the same thing I was just talking about right there, just to kind of back it up a little bit here. And even by reading these verses, and I'm not going to go through this whole chapter, but there's been some preachers and some teachers that I've thought along these lines that at some point here that there might be just a division again like there was in the Old Testament, and you will have Judah and Israel. Some wonder that here in the near future that maybe there's a possibility at some point that there will be a division again, and there will be an area that is Judah and an area that is the nation of Israel. Or two separate areas, but one nation, just like it was in the Old Testament. And look at verse number 20 here in Ezekiel 37. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will make the children of Israel from among, I'm sorry, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And now that's not happened right now. Somebody said, well, that's happened right now. No, that's not what this is talking about, because keep reading. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more. Look what it says here. Very, very interesting. Two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Now, is Israel two kingdoms right now? No. It's one nation. Nation of Israel. Right now, today. They're not two nations. They're not divided. Look what the Bible says here. Verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will, look what it says, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, look what it says, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. That is to the Jewish people. Okay? God says, I'm going to cleanse them. Why? Because of their sins, their transgressions, their detestable things, their idols, their defilement. The Lord says here, I'm going to cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. That's not the church. That's the nation of Israel. In context, brethren, in context with what we're reading here, that is Israel. Look at verse 24 now. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. That is not the church. We are not called to keep the statutes and the commandments. Again, those things were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But the Israelites, the Jews, they're going to have to do those things. Verse 25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, till 2022. Brother, no. Any individual that says the Jewish people are done with, the church has supplanted them, God, the church has taken the place of Israel, how do you explain these verses? How do you explain these verses? Verse 26. I'm sorry, the end of verse 25. They should be my children's or their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will, look what he says, I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, look what it says, do what? Sanctify Israel. That is what the tribulation is going to be. It is going to be a sanctification. It's going to be we're going to see it tonight, a purging process to bring out in the very end a small multitude of Jewish people that have been purified through the fire to enter into a physical land and have a physical king ruling and reigning over them. And that's what leads into the millennium. It all goes back to the Jew. The church is not, there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church. The church is made up of Jew and Gentile, and the church is in Christ, and Christ is in us. The church gets taken out. All the focus goes back to where it was before the church came into existence. It goes right back to the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and to their land. And the Lord says, I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay, again, back to the Jew. Now, this evening, we left off last week because we were looking at a gathering that takes place when the Lord comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we talked about the last trump that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 and how some individuals will say, well, see, the church has to go through that because in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe, verse 16, it talks about a last trump. Well, I looked at it, I talked about it last week, that how some of the newer Bibles, almost everyone that I saw says trumpet, last trumpet. But the King James Bible says the last trump. Okay? And we looked through all that and we looked at how I don't believe that that's what's being talked about in Matthew chapter 24. But there will be a gathering at the end of the tribulation when the Lord comes back to rule and reign, and we ended with that. But I want you to take your Bible here and look at Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah 27. Isaiah chapter 27 in verse, let me see here. Isaiah chapter 27. Pick up here in verse number 6. Isaiah 27, and for time this evening, look at verse number 6. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Down to verse 9. By this therefore shall the iniquity... Look what I'm talking about here. Regarding again the tribulation. By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and images shall not stand up. Jump down to verse number 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and shall be his, and he shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass that, and we looked at this last week here, and it shall come to pass in that day when the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to be perished in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. That last trump, okay? I believe that's when the Lord comes back and he brings in the sheep and the goats and he starts dividing them. All right? Take your Bible and look at Ezekiel. This is where I left off last week. Ezekiel chapter 11. We're going to go through three sections here in Ezekiel, looking at this gathering. All right? Hold your hand there in Ezekiel, and I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and I want you to look at verse number 31. All right, hold your hand, Ezekiel 11. Before we read that, I want you to flip over, if you can, over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. All right, I mentioned it last week, talking about it. During the blessed hope, the Lord's return for his bride, the righteous are removed and the wicked stay. All right? Perfect picture of that. Noah and Ark. During the rapture, the blessed hope, the righteous are removed, the wicked stay. When the Lord comes back in the second advent to rule and reign, the righteous stay and the wicked are removed. All right? The righteous stay, wicked removed, rapture, righteous are taken away and are removed, and the wicked stay. There's a difference between the two of them. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All right, the separation between the goats and the sheep. Take your hand, or Bible, flip over to Matthew, I believe it's 13. Matthew chapter 13, and look at verse number 47. Matthew 13, verse 47. Same principle here in Matthew 13, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Look what it says in verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 15. The Bible says this. Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us in this land given in possession. It says, Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen. And although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And look what it says in verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. That is not the new birth. That's something that takes place and occurs as they get ready to enter into the millennium, separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep, it appears here, the Lord's going to give them a new heart, a new spirit, take out the stony heart of flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Something occurs there as they go into that millennium with those that have made it through the great tribulation, that didn't take the mark, that stayed faithful and true to the testimony of Jesus Christ and the commandments of God. And the Lord does something special for them before they enter into that kingdom. Take your Bible, look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 21. You're going to see the same thing over and over through these scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 36. And verse 21. I'm sorry that I got to do a lot of reading, but you got to get all the context. You got to. Like I said Sunday morning, some of the problems that we have today is people don't take time. They read one verse and they build a doctrine around it. You cannot do that with your Bible. Ezekiel 36, verse 21. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, look what it says. I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. That sounds like those angels going forth there in Matthew 25. Gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Look, the Lord did not give the church any land. We have not been given no land by God. It's all to Israel. And I will be your God, verse 29, and I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. All right, take your Bible, flip over to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 6. You know, brethren, the principle we see here is that Israel turned their back on God. And not that they just turned their back on God. They turned their back on God and got involved in such wickedness that at some points it was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. You know it was bad when God was calling his own children Sodom, Egypt, Gomorrah. That's how he referred to them. They took the sins of the heathen that were around about them and they multiplied it by 10. And it's almost like the Lord says, okay, you think you're going to get away with it? You're not getting away with it. You, brethren, that's why it's so important for us as Christians to live holy, godly lives. That we don't, by our actions, we don't blaspheme the precious name of our Savior. You see, brethren, we represent Jesus Christ. We represent the Lord. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit now dwells within you, you are now an ambassador. Your life represents the Savior. And just as, brethren, just as in our lives, what does the book of Hebrews say that God does to his children? He chastises them. If you're saved for any amount of time, the Lord ought to not allow you to get away with anything. At least with me, I can't. I can't get away with nothing. I can't get away with a bad attitude. I can't. It's like the Lord's all over me saying, son, you need to get that right. Because he's a good father. And so when you're saved, the Lord deals with you. Why? Because he wants you to be a holy representation of him here on this earth. We represent Jesus. I've heard preachers say it. I don't know who started it, who said it in the very beginning. But we might be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. We might be the only person that somebody sees Jesus. We ought to represent and reflect our Savior. And when it doesn't occur, if we're his, he's going to deal with us about it. Now take that with the nation of Israel. They were to represent, they were to set the standard for the nations. They were to be the light of the nations. They had the one true God. They were given the law. They were given the statutes. They were given the commandments. They had the right sacrifice. They knew it was by blood. They had everything correct and right because they had the right God. Yet they dropped the ball and they brought a bad name upon God. And the Lord ain't forgot that. And God says, I'm coming back and the heathen are going to know that you're my children. And what you did wrong. And now, for lack of better words, and I'm not being irreverential. Yeah, however you say that, irreverential, I can't say it. You know what I'm saying. Basically, you're going to get a spanking. I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to correct you and measure. They're going to know you're my child, and I'm your God, and I'm your father, and you did wrong, and now I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to deal with you about your sin in front of all the nations. And then at the end, I'm going to bring it all together. All the nations are going to be gathered together. You're going to be gathered together as well. And it's going to be a judgment time there before Jesus Christ on that throne over there in Israel. Look at Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 6. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 15. Isaiah 56, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. Isaiah 66, verse 15. Look what it says here. It says, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. Isaiah 66, I'm sorry, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. Look what he says in verse 17. Very interesting. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. We can eat ham. We can eat ham. We're not underneath the dietary laws of Israel. But it's going back to the dietary laws for the nation of Israel. And when the Lord comes back, it's like he's saying, listen, you that were hiding behind the trees in there, I saw what you were doing. I saw you eating that swine's flesh. I saw you eating that which was detestable and is an abomination. I saw you eating that mouse, which was unclean. And the Lord says, I'm going to deal with you about it. Look what he says in verse number 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, And they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, and to Pul, and Lud, and draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and chariots and litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Something changes, brethren. You know, I've heard my pastor back home say these things. There's some type of shakeup coming to this earth. There's some type of shakeup. Some type of shakeup is getting ready to occur on this planet, to where it's going to get so bad, it seems that things are going to go back to where they used to be. It's almost as if, and I know there's been some movies put out through the years, I'm talking from even the 50s and 60s, that show some, I'll just, for being a carnal illustration, please forgive me this evening. But if anybody has ever seen any parts of Star Wars, now that was a movie that came out in the 70s, I believe. I believe that's when that movie came out, was in the 70s. But what did you have in that movie? And again, this is a carnal illustration, so please forgive me for it. But you seem to have technology mingled with nomads. You had people using horses and strange things, but then you also had this technology part of it. And some wonder and some believe that if that's not going to occur again, to where you're going to still have some technology part of this thing, but a lot of mankind is going to be back to using horses and mules and litters and chariots. Something occurs to where this thing gets all shaken up. Because you're going to have people coming to the Lord in Israel on horses and mules and litters and chariots. I don't know of anybody today that uses a chariot as a means to get around. You know? I mean, the only people I know that use something along the line is the Amish, and it's not a chariot. You don't see that in today's society. Now, you'll go to some nations and they're using horseback, but I haven't seen anybody using chariots as a means of getting around. Something occurs there. But the point of all that is it goes back to the Jewish people, the priests, and the Levites. Lastly, I want you to look at Luke 21, I'm not going to look at it. If you want to write it down, if you write notes, Ezekiel 20, 33 through 44 talks about the same things that we've just been reading. But I want you to look at Luke 21 as we're closing up here this evening. And I want you to look at Luke 21 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 21 and look at verse 20. Luke 21, 20. All right. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let, talking about what's mentioned there in Matthew chapter 24, the abomination of desolation. Luke says here in verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, there's some individuals out there saying, well, see, Jerusalem was trodden down in the Gentiles in 70 AD. But that's not the case today. So that's not what this is talking about. Some individuals will use this and say, well, this is to show that the church will go through the tribulation because it's occurring right now because Jerusalem was trodden down in the Gentiles in 70 AD. True. It was. Jerusalem was destroyed, but Jerusalem was also taken back in 1960s, they got Jerusalem back. right? What was the date on that?
1967.
All right? So Jerusalem, Israel, the Jews have Jerusalem again. Right now, this present moment, as of 6:20 on January, whatever date it is, 2022, the Jews have Jerusalem. It's not right now, it's not being trodden under foot by the Gentiles. They have Jerusalem. Because look what the verse says, what's going to happen. Look at verse 24 again. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they... all right, verse 24, sorry, start again. And they, who's they? The Jews. Shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's yet to occur. That is yet to occur. The Jewish people will and are going to be scattered again someday here in the near future. This is, you, some people say, well, that occurred, but no, this is future. This has not yet occurred. This takes place after the abomination of desolation. We have no Antichrist yet. As far as I know, no man has claimed to be Antichrist. Okay? No man yet that I have heard of has made a holy covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. It's talked about in Daniel chapter 9. These things have not occurred yet. The Jerusalem has yet to be trodden down into the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Jewish people are going to be scattered again. And the reason I bring that up is because that coincides and go right back to all the verses we've read in Isaiah, Ezekiel, where the Lord says, I'm going to gather you again out of all nations. That's all future. They are going to be scattered again, and the Lord is going to gather them again when he comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. All right? I want to show you something real quick. We'll close with this evening. Something very interesting. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 44. We'll close with this thought here. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Actually, to get the context, we'll start in verse 42. And then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 11 to kind of bring these two scriptures together. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. Now the Lord, I believe, is talking to the Jews here, and he talks to them here, and he says, "Listen, if I want you to be ready for when I come back," but it appears here that some of those servants are not going to be ready. They're going to say, and we're going to look at it in Wednesday night, where is the promise of his coming? For since the very beginning, all things go as the Father. Nothing's changed yet. You say Jesus is coming back, but he hasn't come back yet, and everything's just the way it's always been. Our Lord delayeth his coming, and his servants give themselves over to eating and drinking, and not only that, they begin to smite their fellow servants. So those that are with them, they begin to treat them roughly. They eat, drink. With that in mind, take your Bible, look over at Daniel chapter 11. The book of Daniel and chapter 11 and verse 30. It appears here that a possibility that when we now it's impossible to get into all of it this evening. I'm not going to get into all of it this evening. But before we read Daniel 11, look again what occurs in Daniel 9. Thank you, brother. Verse 27. All right, referring to Antichrist. Daniel 9, verse 27. And you could start back up there in verse 24 and go all the way down for verse 27. But look what Antichrist does in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right? The Antichrist is going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determinant shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, so in the middle of that 3.5 years, he breaks that covenant with the nation of Israel. Now with that in mind, look at Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 30. Daniel 11 verse 30. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. It's talking about the Antichrist. Will come against the Antichrist. Therefore he shall be grieved and return. Referring again, the context I believe through all this is the Antichrist. And therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. All right, this is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. He's made that covenant there, but appears some things occur in here, and he's grieved, he's upset, and the Bible says here in verse 30 that that he returns and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return. Look what these next what this word says, and he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. It almost appears that as you're reading through these verses that there's an undercurrent there with some of the Jews in the nation of Israel. There's an undercurrent working that's going against the Holy Covenant. There's some Jews, for lack of better words, it appears here, have sold out their brethren and are in cahoots with the Antichrist and are bringing him in. For whatever reason, they're bringing him in, and he has intelligence with them, because I believe they've sold themselves out, and I believe that it lines up with what we read there in Matthew chapter 24, verses 44 through 51. There's some of those servants that are going to smite their fellow servants, and they're going to betray their own people. It says, and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Verse 31, it says here, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall, this is talking about Antichrist. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Brethren, I believe with all that we've studied here, and as we close up here, I had a few more things to look at in the Bible where it refers to the the nation of Israel being purged by fire, a third part of them being saved through it all. Brethren, I believe if you take all these verses and you study them for yourself and you go through them, there can be no denial that something takes place to where the focus exclusively, especially by the Lord, goes back to the nation of Israel. And it appears, well, I'll say it appears, I believe that the bride of Christ in this parathenical age that we're living in, to where it's about the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're at, I believe we're right there on the edge of this thing of the bride being taken out and gone, and again the focus going right back to the Jewish people and the Lord dealing with them in the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks will occur here, I believe, soon. That last and final week, that final week that was determined for the nation of a time of Jacob's trouble, a time where the Lord deals with to sanctify and purge Israel for all their wickedness that they've committed against their God. And in the sight of all the heathen. And I don't believe the church has anything to do with any of that correction that the Lord will bring upon his people, the nation of Israel. Brethren, you go back to Revelation and you read about the wrath of the Lamb. Brethren, we're in the Lamb. And it almost would be as if the Lamb is pouring out wrath upon himself. The church is a unique entity. We're a unique organism. There's nothing that's ever been like us, and there will be nothing like us after we're out of here. The bride of Christ is something that is special, that is different. Because we're in Christ and he's in us, and we're fulfilled. We fulfilled everything in him. He's fulfilled it for us. And so I believe through these studies here, next week we'll continue on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start there in chapter 5. I do not believe if you take all these things in context that the church has to worry about one moment of having to face that tribulation of 7 years. I don't believe it. And I believe if you are going to teach that the church is going to go through the tribulation, I believe from my own personal study that there's more evidence that if the church is going to go through it, it's going to go through all 7 years of it. It ain't getting taken out in the middle. Not in my opinion. From what I've been reading, if we are going through it, we're going through the whole thing. And you better buckle in then. You better buckle in. And I've said it before, if you're reading through Revelation, brethren, there's 144,000 Jewish male virgins that get sealed in their forehead. And I said it last week, those scorpions, when they come up out of that bottomless pit, the only ones that they cannot hurt is the ones that are sealed in their forehead. And that's 140. You're telling me the church is subject to that? You're telling me God's going to let his bride be tortured, not have water to drink because the water's been turned to blood? Brethren, I don't. If you want to believe the church is going to go through the tribulation, I have pity on you. Because you will go insane. You'll lose your mind. Just read through the book of Revelation. You want to get depressed real quick, think you're going through the tribulation. Brethren, I'm reading through Revelation right now, trying to study even more, and I'm thinking, God help us if we're going through it. People are going to try to seek death, and it's going to flee from them. It's almost like, brethren, this is what I believe about the tribulation. It's almost like the Lord says, you like blood? I'm going to give you blood. You like horror? You like to be scared? Talking about this world out here? You like to watch things that just scare the fire out of you? All right, I'm going to give it to you, and it's not going to be on a big screen. It's going to be right in front of your face. Brethren, I don't think it's there. I really don't think it's there. The more I study it, look at it, get in depth with it, I believe the precious bride of Christ will be taken out. Before the world heads into that dreadful time like there's never been seen before on this planet, the bride of Christ will be out of here, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our blessed Savior. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, things are getting ready to get crazy on this planet, but comfort yourselves and know that before this thing gets turned over there and that Antichrist makes that holy covenant for 7 years there, we're going to be out of here. The Lord's going to take us home. We're going to spend eternity with Him there in heaven. And at the end of that 7 years, we're coming back there in Revelation chapter 9. We're coming back with Him on those white horses. And we're coming back with Him to rule and reign here on this planet for 1,000 years. That's the hope we got. That is the hope we got. And again, as I close up here, it's not to say that we won't face persecution. I'm not saying that. But we're not going to face the wrath of God. And there's a difference between the two. There's this difference between persecution because we're Christians and the wrath that God's going to pour out upon this world for those 7 years. There's a big difference between the two of them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Lord, I thank you for this Bible. Lord, I pray you'd continue to help me with this all, Lord, to teach, lead, and guide and direct, dear God. Lord, help us to stay true to what the Scriptures say, all the Scriptures, dear God. And Lord, help us as we live our lives, Lord, to put this picture together, these puzzle pieces together, Lord. And Lord, see what the whole canon of Scripture says, not just one or two verses out of two books in the New Testament. Lord, help us to take the whole context of everything. And Lord, help us, Lord, even through all these things, dear God, help us to have a humble attitude. Lord, help us always to stay lowly and meek and humble. And Lord, if there's any correction that I need, Lord, I pray you'd help me to see it. Lord, I pray you'd correct me. I pray you'd show me, dear God. If I'm wrong on these matters, Lord, I pray that you would reveal these things to me. Dear God, I don't want to be lifted up with arrogancy or pride and think that I have it all together. Absolutely not, Lord. Actually, Lord, I don't believe I got anything together. Lord, if there's a mistake here that I'm missing something, Lord, or I'm in error and I'm teaching a wrong doctrine, Lord, I pray you'd show it to me. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to receive it. But Lord, if not, if these things are true, Lord, help us to stand upon them, dear God, and rest upon them, Lord. And Lord, be ready for that blessed hope. And Lord, help us to purify ourselves even as you are pure. And we'll thank you for it, and we'll give you the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn this evening. What page is when we all get to heaven on? I'll get to heaven. I thought it was page 800 or something. I'd like to sing when we all get to heaven. 673. If you can stand, we'll close out here with this verse. When we all get to heaven. 673. Page number 673. You can play this one. Give it a shot.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message that you gave us tonight through Pastor. Help us, Lord, as your children, to stay focused on you. We know there is a blessed hope, and we can comfort one another because we will be out of here before the tribulation. The tribulation is for your chosen people, the Jews. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to do that for your church, your bride. And we thank you, Lord, and we look forward to that. We pray these things in your blessed Son's name and our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Hey, love you. Best of luck. See you Wednesday night. Amen.